Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
What's up, everyone, and welcome to a brand new episode of From the Lions Cove podcast. I'm your host, Marcelo, and today we have one of my childhood best friends and long-time friend, Kelsey Olivia.
Thank you. Hi! So I'm so excited to do this. This is so fun.
Yeah, so I've known Kelsey since like the sixth or seventh grade, so way back. So we've grown up with each other, seen everything throughout our lives. It's definitely been a blessing. A lot of ups and downs for sure, but we've always stayed strong, always remained close, and it's definitely been a blessing. So great to have you on the podcast today.
I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah. So
my mother was so excited. Shout out, Mom.
Shout out to Mrs.
Wait, Roth.
Yeah, Roth. Yeah, I don't know if I was, you know.
No, it's fine.
You know,
shout out Courtney.
Courtney.
Shout out Courtney. I mean,
but Kelsey has had a great career with singing as a songwriter as well as artist. So she has 30,000 monthly listeners on Spotify. She has one album, 17 singles with two EPs. She's played in cities like Chicago, LA, New York City. So definitely rising, definitely up and coming. Kelsey truly has a bright future with this career. And she also has her own website. It's KelseyOliviaMusic.com. So you can go there for merch. And also a little plug too, make sure you follow, like, and subscribe, comment, do all that stuff. Because this is a great episode. So should be pretty fun.
Thank you.
All right. So we'll get into the first question. So what inspired you to pursue songwriting and music as a career? And was there a defining moment when you knew this was your path?
Yeah. So I always grew up in, like, the creative space. Like, but my family's not creative. My family, as you know, is, like, all athletic. My mom's a yoga teacher. My dad's a doctor. And there's no musical nothing throughout anybody. But I always did some sort of, like, entertainment field activity. Like, I acted for a very long time, and songwriting was something that just came really easy. Like, songwriting, like, I was writing songs at 9 years old. Like, it was very, very easy. And I don't know. I don't know if I have a specific moment that I was like, this is what I want to do. I kind of always knew. I guess one moment would be Ariana Grande came here to tour in 2016. She had the Dangerous Woman tour. It's my favorite tour of all time, besides the Eras tour. And and I went, and I think it was that tour that solidified to me that, like, oh, this is it. This is where I'm at. So yeah, I guess it would be Ariana. So thank you, Ariana, if you ever hear this for whatever reason. Thank you so much.
Wow. So, like, kind of, like, how did like, your, I guess, journey start? Like, did it really, when did you kind of, like, have, like, a really big passion for this?
Oh, I was, like, probably, like, 10, 11 years old. Like I said, I always did creative things, but I think music really kicked in around, like, 10, 11 years old. And I found myself in, like, the acting studio for, like, so many hours of my life. But even in the studio, I was singing, and I realized that people kept asking me to sing. It was very strange. But I think around, like, 10, 11 years old, it kind of, like, picked up as a concept. And then as I kept writing and things kept progressing, I eventually, you know, recorded and did all that fun stuff. So
wow. So kind of talk about how, you know, you kind of wrote your first song, you published it. Kind of give like yeah. give us like a little background on that.
So my first song is called I Hate Strangers. It holds like a lot of personal meaning to me. I'll probably get it tattooed, to be honest. Wow. I'll probably get it, yeah, like in my fingers or something.
Well, you don't want it on like your arm or anything?
No. I don't know. I like the way, I don't like how it's dainty. Oh. You know what I mean? Like it's thin. Okay, sorry. Okay, anyways. So, yeah, so I Hate Strangers was my first song that I wrote. I was 17 when I wrote I Hate Strangers. And I had written, like, at least, like, 40 songs prior to I Hate Strangers. Like, I Hate Strangers was not the very 40? First. Yeah.
You had 40?
In my lifetime.
Oh, okay.
Like, from literal, like, age 9 to age 17 when I wrote I Hate Strangers.
Yeah.
Like, there probably was, like, 40, 50 songs written. It was not my first song ever written. But I remember writing it at, like, 2 a.m., and it was this pop-punk idea that I had in my head, this, you know, this guitar that I had in my head that I really loved. And I wrote it, and I wrote it in 20 minutes. And the whole thing, front to back, I wrote in 20 minutes. And it was, like, the moment I finished it, I knew I was, like, this is the one I have to record. Like, I don't know. Yeah. It was very strange, considering I wrote so many songs prior, and I never felt that way. But I don't know. I felt that way with that. And then I went to Tampa. I went to the University of Tampa, Florida. That was interesting. And I came back after my spring semester there. But when I went to college, I didn't want to go to college. I had no interest in being in upper level education. I was like, whatever, I'll go to college. Then I started to get like kind of smart, I don't know. And I started
kind
to,
of smart.
Kind of smart. It was like kind of good in theory. It yeah. worked out in theory.
Okay.
When I was looking at colleges, so I applied to 22 schools. That's a lot of schools for a high school senior.
Yeah, it's
I would, yeah, I just applied everywhere. I threw everything everywhere. And the way I made, so Tampa came in to me, and it was an acceptance letter, but they only accepted me for the spring because they over-enrolled. So I was like, well, rule out Tampa. I'm not going to school in the spring. Only in the spring. Then, like, as other things came in, and I wasn't really interested in what I had, I was like, okay, guess I'll do Cleveland State for the first half, and then I'll go to Tampa for the second half. Now, what was funny about this was, I was a bio major going into Tampa, and I love bio. I'm a huge, huge bio person. And I was a bio major going into Tampa. Everybody knew that. And what nobody knew was that the way I was making decisions on going to Tampa was, it was the school that was the closest to a recording studio. And that's how I made my decision to go to Tampa, because it was the closest in proximity. So once I figured out that it was a 15-minute Uber ride to a studio, I was like, oh, we're going to Tampa. I went to Tampa, and absolutely nobody knew that I was doing music in Tampa. Nobody knew. Maybe one person, but even that, like, nobody knew. My parents had no idea. And we got to the campus. Now, I had never seen Tampa prior to this. I'd never been to Tampa. I've never seen the campus and stuff, but we flew in on move-in day. Like, I was just, okay. We went to see the campus, and I was miserable because I didn't care about this campus. And we ended up going back to our hotel, and I ended up telling my parents, no, like, I'm here for music, and, like, I have a studio lined up. Like, I need you guys to, you know, trust me. And that's kind of what occurred. I moved in, and then within like a week of being there, I had I Hate Strangers recorded.
Wow.
It was my first time ever being in a studio. It was my first time ever. And I was walking into, you know, a very new environment with very new people who all had relationships like prior to spring semester because they were just on break. So when I got there, they didn't know I sang. They didn't know what I did. Well, nobody knew at the time, but they were like the dream team to have. Like, I credit my roommates for like everything. Like, they are, oh my God, they're like such an awesome support group for this. But separate from that, I Hate Strangers was recorded that first week. I went into a studio with a engineer that was there, and I brought my friend Tommy at the time. He lived across the hall from me, and I just met him literally like 2 days prior.
Wow.
And he produces music sometimes. Like, he like messes around his computer. And so he like knows, he knew more than me at the time. And so I was like, oh, like, do you want to come help? If you want to come to the studio, sorry, do you want to come to the studio? And he was like, yeah. So he came with me in an Uber, and I kind of let him take over as producer in terms of telling the other producer and like the engineer of like what to do and how to make the song, because he knew more than me at the time. So I was just in the booth. Mind you, it's my first time in a booth. I've never seen a professional microphone. Literally just like, I don't know, but it was strange because I'd never felt more comfortable in that booth than like anywhere else. Like, I feel the most comfortable in a recording booth.
Wow.
And it's odd, but Tommy, so after the session ended, so we got everything done, then the session ended, and I called my parents, and I didn't know what to say to them. I was like, I don't know how to explain this to them of, like, what I just did.
Yeah.
So I handed the phone to Tommy, and I'll never forget, Tommy said to my parents on FaceTime, again, my parents don't know who this kid is, this random blonde kid from, he picked up the phone, and he said, hi, like, my name's Tommy, like, I know that I, like, don't know you, like, Mr. and Mrs. Roth, but, like, your daughter is, like, one of the most talented people I've ever seen. Like, he was, like, I've never seen somebody, like, go into a booth and be so, like, in their element.
Yeah.
And I think that's what sold my parents, of, like, having the perspective of somebody else. But, yeah, that's the backstory on I Hate Strangers. And I Hate Strangers was released in March, and the rest is history. So.
Yeah, and you've put out a lot more songs since then.
Oh, yeah.
So, overall, how would you describe your sound, and what themes do you find yourself drawn to in your music?
That's a good question. How do I describe my sound? I always like to say I'm in a pop umbrella. Like, your mainstream pop, like, there's definitely some songs of mine that you can consider, like, mainstream pop, but I'd be like, okay. Then you have, like, your ballads, and then you have, like, your pop punk type of sound, like similar to like Olivia Rodrigo, where she kind of falls under all those things.
Okay.
So I describe my sound as like a big pop umbrella.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense, I guess. What was the second part of my question?
Oh, what theme do you find yourself drawn to?
Love life. My love life is a huge theme in terms of writing. Friends are also a huge theme in terms of writing. I think friendships, new friendships, past friendships, I think it finds itself, you know, through all these pieces. And, like, even, like, songs that may have been written about my romantic relationships, you can find, like, elements of the song that you can relate to with friends. And, like, that, I think those two concepts are, like, just really big portions of my discography that I enjoy writing a lot about.
Yeah, and, like, I feel like that's most important, like, for, you know, artists. Like, you want to relate, or you want your, I guess, audience to relate to, like, that song and kind of feel a certain way or look back on, like, a memory about it. So, that's definitely, you know, you definitely want that for sure. And definitely a lot of people can relate to, you know, losing friendships, also gaining new friendships and kind of, you know, breakups, heartbreaks, all of the above with that.
Fun stuff.
For sure.
Fun stuff.
So, obviously, we grew up together. Did any of our shared experiences or moments ever influence your creativity or music? I mean, I can...
Oh, yeah. Wait, that's so cute.
I have a story right off rip.
Go ahead.
So, back in high school, Kelsey would always sing. Like, me and Kelsey would always hang out, like, every weekend. And Kelsey also did cheerleading. I played basketball, so it was great because Kelsey was always, you know,
cheering
for me, especially when I was at the free throw line. Sink it, Marcelo, sink
it. Sink it, Marcelo.
So, those times were awesome. I'll definitely never forget those. But Kelsey would always, you know, sing, and even like when we'd go on like drives and stuff, because, you know, in high school, there's really not much to do in Ohio besides go to Target, go to Walmart. Get ice cream. Yeah. So, the one thing that I kind of noticed, Kelsey would always sing, and I'd always tell her, I said, hey, like, you know, you should kind of do something with this. Like, I know, let's say, like, we always played sports, we did basketball, we did cheerleading, but we also, like, had, like, certain hobbies. And I remember, I'm like, Kelsey, like, this is a great hobby just, like, for you to pick up on, like, the side, just kind of get it started. And I even told her parents that. I was like, listen, you got to tell Kelsey to kind of get into the music or sing or put out music. Yeah. And so, listen, I'll always take credit for doing that. But the one thing, though, is that I always saw potential in Kelsey as a friend. And, you know, I always, like, love when people do the stuff that they love doing and that they're passionate about. So I'll always encourage the people in my life to, you know, move forward and kind of take this step. You know, I'll always try out new things. So I always encourage my best friends to try out new things as well.
Aw, wait, that was so cute. I think I'd probably say the same thing. I mean, because I remember that really vividly of Marcelo telling me that I should sing. And it's odd because there was either like, I don't know. I feel like people either knew I sang all the time or never knew I sang at all.
Right.
It was like really strange. Like you either knew me as the girl that sang all the time or you're like, oh no, I don't know what she does. Like,
yeah.
It was very weird. But no, I would definitely say probably you saying to me and my parents of like, no, she should sing. It's very, I don't know. It's strange. You're like one of the first people that actually saw like some sort of like framed like potential.
Yeah.
It was nice.
I loved it.
It's like, yeah, it's one of my favorite.
Also to just.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
You know, just like hearing like you sing here and there, and then I would say, yeah, Kelsey, like you should write a song. Nah. So, but I mean, obviously you've grown a lot, and obviously it's definitely been working out for you for sure.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I hope so.
So, what's one childhood memory that you think back on often, and why does it stand out to you?
Oh. Okay. I'll relate this one to music a little bit. Okay. I don't know if this is, do you consider like 13 childhood?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Cause that's like okay. What? That's like middle school.
Kind of. Yeah. I was in eighth grader. Okay. So when I was 13, this is one of my favorite stories to tell. I auditioned for America's Got Talent. It was, it was one of my favorite things I've ever done. It is grueling and gruesome, but it is one of my favorite things I've ever done. They don't do it the way they used to, I don't think, because of COVID anymore. But the way that America's Got Talent worked was they would pick out like 10 cities or whatever it was, and they would do open calls. So anybody that had a talent or an act of any kind could show up, and you're held in this. We were held in the Huntington Bank Convention Center for like 12 hours.
Okay.
Get there at like 8 a.m. There's 10,000 acts there. Not 10,000 people, 10,000 acts. Like, if there's, like, a group of 10, that's considered one.
Wow.
There's so many people there. So, you're there. We got there at, like, I don't know, maybe, like, 8, 9 a.m. I went in, and it was so – you would think it would be overwhelming to a 13-year-old girl, but I have never felt more, like, at home in my life. Like, being so surrounded by, like, creative people was so fun for me. And we were there for hours, and all you do is they give you a number, and then they have you wait, and they call you in like, groups of, like, 5, 6, and they have you wait until your name's called, and it could take 20 minutes, it could take 12 hours. For me, it took 12 hours, so that was great.
Wow.
That was great,
so you spent the whole day there.
We were there until, like, 9 p.m. So we went, and my go-to song, my audition song for everything when I was younger – was If I Ain't Got You by Alicia Keys.
Okay.
It's a very difficult song, but I don't know. So I went into America's Got Talent with this song. I sat on a ledge, like on one of the bank buildings, in the main building, looking out the window. And I was like rehearsing quietly in the corner, because, you know, 10,000 people. Yeah. And I heard my music starting to play. And I was like, oh, like, my mom is playing it. Like, I'm going to tell her to shut it off. I don't know what I thought. But I turned around, and there was a full-on band that heard me singing and knew the song and started playing. It was so surreal, but Oh my God, was it so fun? And like even like the bathrooms at America's Got Talent, like everybody's singing. It's so fun. And like I went in there, so when I got to my audition spot, when they called us in for groups finally, I went in there, I don't know what it was. Somebody said something to me about hearing my song too much, like around the venue. Like so many people were singing the song. But they were also like 25-year-olds singing the song. I was 13.
Yeah.
So huge difference. But it got like in my head. I'm not really sure what happened in the moment, but last second, like I mean excruciatingly last second, I called, I'm stepped up to the line. I changed the song in my head last minute. And I really don't know what compelled me to do that. But I ended up singing, what was it? I ended up singing Rolling in the Deep by Adele. Still a hard song for a 13-year-old. But yeah, so that was fun. They move you through rounds. So like if they like you here, they'll move you to a different level building, different producers, and they'll just keep doing that. But yeah, that's like one of my favorite, you know, childhood
yeah.
music industry memories is America's Got Talent.
Yeah.
I mean, love that thing.
I mean, that's definitely like a once in a lifetime kind of moment.
Oh yeah. And
cause like you don't really hear people go into that too often or
no,
you know,
and they don't do the same because of COVID. I don't think yeah. they do like as big a thing.
It's all like online now probably, you know.
Yeah, like the Voice is online. I've auditioned for the Voice like so many times. The Voice auditions are interesting because you think like they tell you like you have a time slot, right? And they tell you have like this is your time slot to audition, so you think that you're gonna be like live recorded and you get one shot to audition and get sent in. That's not the case at all. You actually get your time slot, but you get like unlimited time to film your video and submit it.
That's insane.
Yeah, so when I did it the first time in like 2021, like it was so strange to me because I was like freaking out because I was like, I'm only going to get one shot at this. Yeah. And then I was like, oh wait, no, I can do this as many times as I want. And then you end up spending like 2 hours doing it. But yeah, anyways, that's, I guess, also maybe a challenge.
Awesome. So what's been the most exciting or rewarding moment of your music journey so far?
Oh, exciting or rewarding moment. There's two. Okay, I'm going to do two, if that's okay.
Well, yeah, okay. Of course.
The first thing I want to address, and this sounds like really corny, but I swear to God, I'm not trying to make this weird. I think the fans have been the craziest part of this.
Yeah.
Like, I did not think that, like, my music and my work and what I do was going to, like, have the impact that it does. But it does. And I have fans that reach out to me all the time. Like, I have fans that talk to me through, you know, Instagram, through email, through all this stuff, TikTok. And I've gotten to know, like, so many of them. Like, I've gotten DMs of a fan that was like, your music helped me so much with school, you know, and these are just like kids. And it's so rewarding to see that my music is now becoming like an extension of me.
Yeah.
It's very interesting. Like, you know, like I have, oh my God, like they're like my besties. I literally love them so much. There's two fans that I talk to really chronically. Their names are Ryan and Nicole. Ryan and Nicole, if you're here, that's, I absolutely love you. I absolutely love you. I talk to them all the time on Instagram. They give me feedback and they, you know, they tell me what they like, what they don't like. And it's great.
Yeah.
It's super rewarding. My second thing is my favorite moment, I think, so far was in 2023. Right? No, I'm sorry, 2022.
Okay.
I got to work with Big Germ, who's Mac Miller's producer.
Wow.
Who I love. I love so dearly. I am such a big Mac Miller fan, and I think his work is incredible.
Yeah.
And when I was at Tampa, there were two albums that really got me through Tampa, and it's so funny because they like kind of have no correlation to each other. But the first one was Dawn FM by The Weeknd, and the second one was Kids by Mac Miller.
Okay.
Oh, and the third one was Frank Ocean, just all of Frank Ocean.
It's crazy, but you have no Drake in there.
I know. Drake was not for Tampa. I don't know what was going on. So lots of Frank Ocean, lots of Drake now. But I digress. But yeah, so I got to work with Big Germ, and I always had this, like, weird, like, dream of, like, working with Max Team. I don't know what it was. Like, I really just loved what he did. And so, after, like, hours of digging, because my motto is, like, screw it. My motto is, like, send the email. The worst you can get is, like, no response. And that motto keeps me, like, that, like, quote keeps me, like, oh my god, just driven 24/7, because I send, like, hundreds of emails a week to people that probably hate me because I'm annoying. But anyways, yeah, so I looked for hours for his contact. I finally find his email. I send him this email. Mind you, I'm still only, like, I'm only a couple months into music. I only have 3 songs out at this point. You know, they're mild singles, and I was trying to, like, really convince him, but I was like, please work with me. And I sent him this email, and a week went by, I heard nothing. 2 weeks went by, I heard nothing. And I was like, okay, well, he's probably, you know, busy being a really well-paid producer and, you know, probably, you know, dealing with, you know, fun Mac Miller things. But then I was on the phone with my mom, and I got an email back from Jern. And he was like, hey, Kelsey, like, I just listened to your stuff. Like, I know I work predominantly in rap, but I've been looking to try to do something with pop. Like, I'd love to try to work with you. And I was like, oh, my God. Like, I broke down crying. I broke down sobbing. Like, oh my God, it was crazy. So then within, like, the next, like, couple weeks, we were in Pittsburgh because their home base is in Pittsburgh. And we went to his studio called ID Labs, which is the home studio of Mac and Wiz Khalifa.
Wow.
So that was super cool. So the side of the building is absolutely beautiful. Somebody painted, like, I have a picture I'll show you after, but somebody painted, like, a mural of Mac Miller, like, all of his faces. It was, oh my god, I literally cried looking at the building. It was beautiful. But going into the studio and being able to see, like, you know, they have all of his plaques and they have all of his award, or a lot of his awards and his, you know, newspapers in the lobby area, and, like, to go in the booth, and I was like, oh my god, like, I'm working with Big Germ. Like, this is, like, really crazy. It was so surreal. I absolutely love Germ. He is such a nice human being. And, yeah, to be able to work in an environment that, like, one of my favorite artists ever, with the person my favorite artist ever, you know, has worked with, is crazy. It's crazy. But, yeah, Germ's a great guy. So, yeah, I think that's one of my favorite music memories is working with Germ. That was great fun.
Kind of, like, going back to what I was saying earlier, that's, like, once in, like, a lifetime, like,
yeah,
know, it's truly, like,
and it's, you know, weird.
It's
weird.
It's weird how stuff like that happens, but obviously, you know, they're meant to be, like, for a reason, and that's awesome. Kind of going back to, like, the fans thing, too, like, I mean, this year I started this podcast, like, consistently, like, 3 months ago, and I was, I think, the number one show for 27 fans, which is... It's not a large number, but I mean...
No, but, like, if 27 people walked into a room, like, you'd be like, wait.
Yeah.
Like, no, 27 is still big.
And also, too, over the span of 3 months, I mean, it's, like, it's definitely awesome, and it's, like, it gives you hope that over time it can just keep on growing and getting larger, so...
Oh, my God, wait, that's exciting. Oh, my God, I didn't know that. Wait, that's so exciting.
Yeah, shout out Spotify Wrapped for that.
Shout out Spotify Wrapped. No, love me some Spotify Wrapped. Love me some Spotify Wrapped.
So... Speaking of, you know, Spotify,
who
are some of your biggest musical influences, and how do they shape your work?
Oh, okay, so my musical, like, inspirations, they change all the time. From single, or from song to song, they're different. The one that remains consistent is your favorite and mine, Taylor Swift.
What?
Taylor. No. I love Taylor Swift. She should be here today. Anyways, Taylor remains, like, an influence throughout a lot of things. I think because her writing is really, really impactful. And for people that don't like Taylor Swift, I beg somebody to just listen to, like, one of the songs that's, like, you know, like, really in-depth lyrically. You know, like, you have, like, your radio pop of, like, Shake It Off, and you have, you know, Bad Blood, and all the ones that everybody knows. But Taylor's writing is genuinely, I think, the best writing I've ever heard. And it's so poetic, and it's so, you know, monumental in every line that she writes. And I take so much from that. I model so much of my writing after her. I learn from her, like, by listening and, like, knowing her discography, literally, back to front. I know, like, I don't know. She's taught me so much, and I've never met her. It's so strange. So Taylor Stays, one that we have really often that I think I use is, which is really odd, I guess, but The Weeknd.
Okay.
I'm a big Weeknd fan. I love what he does production-wise, and even though my music doesn't sound like The Weeknd, I think it's very cool. And so I try to bring in of like, oh, I like this element of his song. I like this element of whatever. Or I like how they use this concept. And I bring that in a lot. I love The Weeknd. I love Ariana. Ariana Grande. Yeah. Hello. She has shaped my life in like a crazy way. Like I really would not be the person I am right now without her existing. It's really strange. But she shapes so much, and she contributes in the vocal aspect of things. So Taylor contributes with writing. The Weeknd contributes with production, along with, you know, Olivia Rodrigo, Gracie Abrams, Sabrina Carpenter, you know, anybody else. And then losing my train of thought. Who was I talking about?
Ariana Grande.
Yeah, thank you. Ariana Grande. Ariana contributes vocally. So I learned a lot of, like, vocal things, I guess, because of Ariana. Like, I paid so much attention to her, like, vowel placement in her mouth and, like, just the most random things that you wouldn't expect somebody to pay attention to. She contributes to my singing getting better and it changing and moving in different ranges and just the concepts of creating melodies, like, a lot of that. I don't know. I can't really explain it, but it comes from her. I have a lot of influences that change all the time, but I love them all equally. So
wow,
love them all equally.
Well, yeah. I mean, we can definitely tell with, you know, like the heartbreaks and the kind of
relationships. Yeah, yeah, that too.
That's
yeah.
Like the Taylor Swift and like kind of yeah. Like the I Hate Strangers. You get of a little Ariana Grande yeah. With a little bit of Olivia Rodrigo, kind of that like vibe. So
yeah,
definitely have like a, you know, different kind of artists mm-hmm. or artists, I mean, influences from artists mm-hmm. throughout different songs.
Yeah. It's and every song is different too. Every time I go into the studio, you know, depending on what we do that day. I mean, I've looked at in the past like couple months, spoiler for everybody out there. Last couple months, we've looked at a lot of like 1975s. We've looked at a lot of 80s music. We've looked at a lot of, you know, like Taylor Swift. We've looked at a lot of those things. So it's forever. It's consistently changing depending on what I bring in that day. But
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you said Taylor Swift's lyrics are, you know, amazing.
Yes.
You need to listen to Lil Wayne because Lil Wayne is the go of lyrics.
Okay. That's fine. That's fine. I respect it.
No, but that's awesome. So give us a little story behind one of your songs, like one of your favorite songs that you've written. And what does it mean to you? I mean, obviously you haven't like written a song like about like your best friend yet, but I'm waiting for that one day.
You'll get it.
All right.
A lot of people are waiting on those. You'll get it. I promise you'll get it.
Here we go. Hopefully I'm featured on it.
Okay. Marcelo has been asking me for a feature for literally years. And I told him he's welcome to be featured on anything if he pays the studio time. And then he fights me on it. So let me know in the chat below if he should pay the studio time. Anyways. Oh my God. What was I talking about?
Favorite song.
Thank you. Okay. Story of a song. This could get really messy really quickly. So I'm going to be careful with what I choose.
Oh, no.
I'm going to choose...
This is a No Drama podcast, everyone.
I know, No Drama podcast, so I'm going to leave this out. I'm going to choose The Witch. Okay. I think The Witch was really fun for me to write. I had... So The Witch was the last track. The Witch was supposed to be the last track. And it wasn't. The ending was the last track because I wrote it last minute. But The Witch, I couldn't figure out what song I wanted in its place. Like, I was swapping out so many old songs, and I just didn't like anything I did. So then, it was over the summer, in July, there was Breakaway Fest in Columbus.
Okay.
I had my cousin and all of her friends. And I mean, I don't mean like a group of four. I mean like 20 people.
Okay.
Staying in my apartment. So it was pretty chaotic the whole weekend. No, I did not go to the music festival, by the way. I literally just went back to Columbus to host. Yeah.
Wow.
So there was like 20 people there.
They honestly should have paid you for that.
I know. Let's talk about it. Yeah. I know. But they were all there, and I write at any time of the day. There is no setting or time or place where I, like, can't write. I literally write in the strangest places. But it was like 3 a.m. Everybody had just gotten back. Everybody was sleeping for the most part. My cousin was sleeping in my bed, and I got up, I like jolted up, and I started writing this song. And I write these songs, I write songs in three places: my Google Docs, my handwritten notebooks, or my whiteboard. Now, all of these songs, for the most part, were written on my whiteboard or my like notebook. Mm-hmm. And those songs are typically like the most gut wrenching songs, I like to attribute that to. So The Witch is definitely kind of one of those, and I wrote it. I like was sitting on my bed. It's like 3 a.m. This big whiteboard, writing all these lyrics, and my cousin kicks me and then goes, "You're being too loud. Like, go somewhere else." I'm not even making noise, by the way. She's like half asleep, so I go into my bathroom and I sit on the floor and I wrote this song in like maybe 30 minutes on my bathroom floor at like 3-4 in the morning. And the moment I finished it, I knew I was like, the witch is gonna go on here. And I love The Witch. I am a big tarot card person. I'm a big crystal person.
Yeah.
Everybody has their own opinions on those. But I am a big crystal and tarot card person. And so The Witch kind of talks about this elusive idea of, you know, is it coincidence? Is it magic? Did I make it happen? You know, will you come back if I do? It's all over the place. But I love The Witch. It's one of my favorite songs on this EP, so very exciting.
Well, hey, listen, thank God for the bathroom floor, right?
Because without
the bathroom floor, I don't know if that song would be out.
I know. Thank God my cousin kicked me. I really don't know.
So, the next question is, wait, I just asked that one.
No, you're good.
Okay, I was making sure where I was at.
No, you're good.
So, if younger us could see you where you are now, what do you think they'd be the most surprised or proud of?
Oh, wow. What do I think they'd be the most surprised or proud of? I don't think my younger self would be surprised at all. I think she'd be really proud of fans. She'd be really proud of the fan base that I've created, and that I have a really stable group of people that really love what I do. I think that's crazy. I think she'd also be really proud of just, like, all the writing I've done, which is really crazy because there's so much. But, yeah, I don't think she'd be surprised. I think if younger you saw me now, you'd probably be like, I told you so.
Yeah.
You'd probably just say, I told you so. And
yeah, definitely. I definitely would have guessed that for sure. I would, like, I was too, even, like, kind of, like, looking, like, at, like, myself, per se, it's, like, you know, I'm not really surprised either. It's kind of, like,
right.
It's kind of, like, I always knew I was going to try different things, whether that was in sports or whether that was doing podcasting or, like, YouTube or, you know, school, just trying out different things and see what I like. And I think, you know, this is something that, you know, I could see myself doing. And, I mean, like, when you kind of look back on your past, you're kind of, like, okay, like, I did those things. I liked those things when I was little. So, you know, I'm doing what I love now. So you can almost kind of say that.
No, it's fun. It's definitely a fun time.
Yeah. So what's next for you in your career, any releases, projects, goals you're excited about?
Yeah.
Anything.
Of course there is. And of course, there's always more with me. I never stop working. That's one thing about me is I'm really annoying in the sense that I never stop what I'm doing. Like, even like when I go to hang out with my friends, I bring my computer with me, and I bring my headphones with me, because I'm consistently writing or doing something, so I always have new stuff for everybody. I have, hopefully, I'm, I really, I wanted to get you guys a new single by the end of the month. I'm going to cross my fingers it happens. I'm not sure if it will. But if not, you will have a new single by January.
Hey, there we go.
You'll have more singles, lots more singles that are already done to follow the rest of the first half of the year. Hopefully by this time next year, or maybe a little later than that, you'll have a full album.
Okay.
Is my goal. Hopefully, hopefully we'll get, you know, new management moving in, and we'll get, you know, more live shows played, hopefully, once school is done, because that's, like, a big thing. So once school is done, hopefully we get more live shows played. Yeah, and hopefully I'll be able to meet more fans. Hopefully I'll be able to connect with more people. So, yeah, there's a lot coming. There's a lot going on. So I'm very excited.
Hey, you guys heard it here first.
Yeah.
A new single.
This is an exclusive. Yeah, I have not made that announcement at all yet, so.
Hey. From the Lions Cove podcast. Hey, shout out.
Shout out from the Lions Cove. No, real.
So, the last question is, if you could give advice to someone just starting their journey in music,
mm-hmm.
what would you tell them?
I tell them to save everything. Everything you do. If it's a drum pattern that's like 8 counts, if it's like 3 lyrics or whatever, save everything you do, because even if you don't think it's good at the time, like, I always find myself revisiting old works. And even if I'm not, like, I have, like, probably, like, 100 vault tracks. So 100 songs in the vault that were either, you know, completely finished or whatever. And I always find myself going back to them for inspiration or for references or something like that. And while it may seem, like, minuscule at the time, like, there's a reason it was written. There's a reason it'll come back around. So, yeah, save everything. Save everything.
Awesome.
Even if you think it's, like, not good at all, like, please save everything.
Do it.
Yeah.
I know. I still have some song lyrics that I wrote from, like, high school.
Yeah.
Still, like, saved, you know? Like, I'll try to, like, rhyme and, you know, like, they're all saved. Saved on my notes app. So maybe one day when I hop on a feature.
When you hop on a feature, we got to bust open the notes app.
Yeah. For real.
We gotta see. For real.
So now we're to the quote of the episode. So for those that don't know, I'll say a quote from a famous, you know, athlete, artist in this situation. And just to talk about what this quote means to you, mm-hmm. and then talk about a quote that you live by every single day.
Okay.
So this quote is from Taylor Swift. I did choose Taylor Swift
for
you.
Thank you so much.
So she said, "You have people that come into your life shockingly and surprisingly. You have losses that you never thought you'd experience. You have rejection, and you have to learn how to deal with that and how to get up the next day and go on with it."
Mm-hmm. I love Taylor Swift. Okay, what that quote means to you. Sorry, I love Taylor. I think songwriting helps me with that a lot. I think, like, just navigating through life, and obviously we're so young, but, you know, every challenge and everything that I face, and I'm sure you face, you know, people have different coping mechanisms of how to pick yourself back up again. And I think music is that coping mechanism for me. Songwriting is that coping mechanism for sure. Like, the moment anything happens in my life that's of any caliber, I don't tell anybody. Like, my first instinct is to start writing.
Yeah.
Like, and I mean anything. Like, minuscule or not, hurtful or not, I start writing immediately. So, you know, if you haven't heard it, a songbook has. And I think it's a way of, you know, almost like journaling, almost, in a weird way. But yeah, I think that quote resonates with me because music helps me with that a lot.
Yeah.
So that's very fun. A quote that I live by. I don't know if I necessarily live by this, but it's one of my favorite quotes ever because it's from my favorite movie of all time.
Okay.
It's from Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Yeah.
And the quote is, "Life moves pretty fast. If you don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it." And I just love, that's my favorite movie of all time. But also, I think that quote, like, really does hold up. And, like, the more you go through things, the more, like, I feel that quote come back around of, like, it's so chaotic. Like, especially being a full-time student and being a full-time artist. And having the workload and the career, like, stature of a full-time artist and doing all of that, it gets really hectic really fast. And, like, things, like, go from, like, 0 to 100 really quickly with music. And so I think...
Shout out Drake.
Shout out Drake. Shout out Drizzy. Shout out Drizzy. But, yeah, things go, like, really quickly with music. And so I think being able to, like, center myself and look around sometimes, like, is a very big, I don't know, like, center point for me. Like, I had my cousin, Emma, she told me one time, there was, like, something going on with music, and she told me, and I'm gonna forget it, she said, she was like, maybe this, like, my music was, like, doing, like, bad. There was, like, something going on. It was, like, a crash out, okay? And she was like, maybe this is the universe's way of giving you a break, because I couldn't do anything with music at that time period. And I was like, maybe you're right. And ever since I heard that, I think about that a lot. And, like, especially there was a recent event that happened that, for fans that know me, know that it caused my music to be stagnant for about a month. And it was a really heartbreaking situation to have happen, but I, you know, it was really crazy, but, you know, maybe it was just being able to, you know, look around once in a while. So I don't know. Interesting.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, like, even with, like, podcasting, like,
yeah,
I try to upload an episode every week, but for example, like, it's hard sometimes.
Yeah.
Oh, so
yeah.
Like, with school and stuff. So it's like being, I mean, you know, you're a full-time student and a full-time artist. So you know what it's like, yeah, trying to balance it all out. And it's a lot. And yeah, you kind of have to, you know, it's obviously school's important. Right. So, you know, if you have these exams, it's going to be hard for you to write some songs. It's going to be hard for you to do that. And it just makes, yeah, things pretty difficult. So, like, I know, like, I haven't posted in, like, 3 weeks. And
yeah.
So, like, it's like, okay, like, you just kind of have to get back to it when you can. And
it's hard.
Actually make time for it. But
it's hard.
I feel like just balancing it out is key. And
yeah,
creating a nice little schedule,
like,
for
imagine
yourself.
Being, like, trying to be creative all the time. Like, it's hard.
It is.
And
it
also,
is hard.
Like, it's, you know, especially with school, too, because, you know, like, I take all my classes online, and I do it purposely because I travel so much for music. I go, you know, I'm always back and forth, and I've gotten really lucky sometimes with professors that are understanding that I, like, can't make it to Zoom class today, yeah, or I can't do anything today. But there definitely are some that are like, I don't care what you do, yeah, and it, you know, bites you a little bit. So it does get hard. You know, like, we had finals week last week, and I only had one song written last week, which is very unlike me. I typically write, like, 2 to 3 songs a week. Fun fact.
Wow, okay.
Fun fact, yeah. And it typically is at, like, it's, like, at, like, 5 in the morning. Like,
yeah,
it's really random. I'm up until 5 in the morning. I'm not, yeah, it's, I don't know, it's strange. But I write, like, 2 to 3 times a week, so, yeah, it gets hard. But, yeah, yeah, podcasting probably gets hard, too.
Yeah.
I can imagine.
Both. Hey, we're still doing it. Hey, that'll do it for this podcast episode.
Yeah.
Kelsey, thank you again.
Thank you.
Love Kelsey very much. Definitely one of my great childhood best friends. And can't wait to see her future in music. And I'm sure sooner or later it's going to grow large. It's going to be
You're
huge.
Too nice.
So, yeah, thank you again for hopping
thank
on.
You.
Hopefully you had fun.
Yeah, thank you guys so much for having me.
Yeah, and over these next few weeks, I plan on posting 2 episodes every Tuesday. So I'll have 2 Kelsey's and my other friend,
wow,
Mike Dorn. So we got those 2 coming out on Tuesday. And from here on out, we'll just keep on moving forward with,
yeah,
it. But thank you for all the love and support. And we'll see you in the next one.
We'll see you in the next one. Thank you.